Our Father, we thank you again for the day. Bless us together, sure, here and now, as we look into your word for just a moment to remind us some things. And dear Lord, let us see, God doesn't overlook a thing. He rewards for everything that's done. And some people sit and think, that's it, Lord. No, God has said he rewards for works. And we just pray tonight you let us see something about that reward for those who work so hard here at Fellowship Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I don't want to go and preach tonight, and I'm not. I'm going to try to teach us something for a few minutes, and then we're going to have prayer around the altar, because many of you are tired and will be tired this week. I know that, and we'll be here late hours at night, no doubt, and so we don't want to try to keep you too long. But I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew 10 to begin with. You know, you wonder sometimes that for those who do work so hard, who support the work, who give their time, give their talents, and at the time, it's very frustrating because you're trying to work your busy schedule of work in. You're rushing to church and then rush home and have to get up early in the morning, long hours during the day. But so I wanted to just mention a few things tonight of how God gives us opportunity to do things. And he gives it to those who are willing to give their time, their talent, and the expense that's needed. The Bible tells us, what should a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, that tells me there's nothing as important in God's sight as a man's soul. God gave his son from heaven, took the place of you and I. And now he tells us to occupy. Occupy, you don't sit, occupy. Sitters do not occupy. To occupy, you got to be busy. Now, in this life, sometimes it would seem like, because we and you and I, who say, face all kinds of things. Just serving God doesn't mean that we're going to have a hunky-dory life. It means we're going to have a blessed life. But you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some tragedies. You're going to have some troubles. There are going to be things you face, and you wonder, and you look at sometimes somebody who's not doing anything for God, and you wonder why in the world they get along as good as they are. Well, one thing is for sure, keep in mind, those who don't know the Lord and seem to be getting along so good, this is all they got. That's right. This is all they got. When they leave here, it's going to be terrible for them. You and I, it seems like sometimes people look at and say, well, you give all your time, you give your life, you're at the church all the time, you never have no fun. They just don't understand. See, fun in the world leads to hell a lot of times. Amen. But when you have and do for God, in heaven it leads to rewards. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, and verse 40 down a few verses. He said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, we are linked together. Now, I love that. Did you see what Jesus said? He said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. Now, he's talking to the disciples here, but he's also talking to anyone else who's serving God. If you and I go out this week or next week or any time and try to win someone to the Lord, if someone receives us, Jesus said, hey, they don't realize it, they're really receiving me. If someone rejects you, they don't realize it, they're really rejecting me. Isn't that a personal blessing that God has given to you and I who understand that when somebody rejects us, they don't realize what's happening? Now, for them to hear us to say that, they'd say, well, you think you're somebody, aren't you? No, we know who we are. We're nobody that God loved and made us somebody. And we were sinners saved by God's grace. But Jesus tells us, he that here, as much so as disciples, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When we go forth, if I understand the sequence here, if I go witness someone, they receive me. Then Jesus said they receive him. And then he said if they receive him, they receive God. That's the channel. So when we go out and witness, we're doing some mighty things in the Lord. If a person rejects our witness, they're rejecting Christ and in turn rejecting God the Father. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, that's what Jesus said. Are we going to believe him? Hey, if this is not true, he may not be true when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad he is true. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so this gives, you know what this does? The Holy Spirit gives us strength here in this world that we're criticized. And then he said, he that receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And then verse 42, he said, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, that tells me something about this week. God has given us a great opportunity to do some things that many times that churches cannot do, financial and otherwise. And he said, and I say this to many of you this week, some of you are going to cook, you're going to go extra, you're going to spend extra money to buy food. And if I understand this, if God says that he'd reward us for giving a cold cup of water to someone, can you imagine what it'd be when you give them more than that? That's just the minimum of it. So God is not going to overlook that, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee you the time will come. He will bless those who go beyond the cup of water, even as much so as he would bless those who give the cup of water. This may have been a quote from over in the Old Testament. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, here's what is said in verse 4. He said, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. He took 100 prophets, put them in caves of 50, when Jezebel was just trying to destroy them. Now, this was an act he could lose his life on account of. And he said, and fed them with bread and water. He didn't have a whole lot. But bread and water go a long ways. And no doubt this may be where we find Christ recording about a cup of water in a disciple's name. So it goes to show us that how did God, you say, well, I can't see the Lord to do something. But God says you do something for his servant. You do something for his people. You see, you're doing it for me. You help the poor, you're doing it for the Lord. If you encourage someone, you're doing it for the Lord. If by chance you can create an atmosphere where people can come and be refueled, you're doing it for the Lord. And everything we give into that for the glory of God, and that's the thing about a camp meeting, it's collectively, no individual is doing something to be exalted, excel. We together collectively do this, and God will reward each one individually. So whether it be a cup of water or just a small thing, God says he rewarded. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that. I believe just as much so as God's in heaven and sent his son, that he will do what he said about the simplest thing. We know this. Jesus, when he was here one time, took a dear lady and brought her out among all the rest who gave just two mites, which is everything she had. And he actually gave her revealing who she was rather than those who threw in a whole lot, because she gave all she had. Many times there will be some this week will go the extra mile. And you know what the Lord tells us to do? If you're compelled to go a mile, go the extra mile. You remember that message I preached a few weeks ago? Well, there's a week where some people will go the extra mile. And they'll come and there'll be a blessing rather than just being blessed. And by being a blessing this week, they will be blessed later as God keeps his word. Now, sometimes it's just a cup of water. Sometimes it may be just a cup of mites. And then sometimes God touches people's heart to do more than that. If you look in 2 Kings, you see that. And then just close tonight. A few thoughts, we're going to have prayer. You cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. And God, I don't understand why he uses it. We're fickle people. We'll say we're going to do something, not do it. And yet God still uses us. And he uses us to talk because we're the body of Christ. You see the body of Christ through the children of God. Christ is the head. You don't see that now, but you know there's a body that's got to be a head. And we get our instructions from the head. The head's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But the body here is on this earth that people can see Jesus Christ in our lives as we serve him. Then there comes a time that sometimes people, you don't have to have a lot of money for this either. There comes a time that sometimes God touches some people to do something just because they want to do it, because that person is serving God. And we see that in 2 Kings. If you look in verse 8. And here's Elisha. And Elisha passed to Shunem and said there was a great woman there, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Here's the prophet Elisha traveling. And evidently, this is a path he went by a number of times. And as he traveled, here one day, she got him to come in and how she fed him, just fed him a small meal, a bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually." This guy had come by a number of times, so she didn't do anything. You think the man ought to have been saying something, but it's the wife that spoke up here. And she said, "Honey, I perceive this to be a man of God. And he comes by here, and we need to do something for him." You know what God was doing? Giving her a test. Letting her feel the impression he puts on one's heart to see if they obey what God has to do. I think about sometimes how the Lord does. We pass the plates here every Sunday. People have the opportunity to give God his tithe and more than that. What a sad thing when one doesn't, because they'll stand before God one day and get an account of it. When we have our faith promise, some people do not serve in that. So the people give account of that one day because God keeps a record. Here's a woman. God didn't tell her to do this. And yet she sees this man, knows he's a man of God, coming by constantly. And notice what she goes further. She says to her husband, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall." She didn't have to do that. "And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool." Not a whole lot. Just a place to lay down, a table to sit at, a candlestick to be able to see at night. "And it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." In other words, let's put that up on the outside of the wall, on top of where they live at. Have outside stairs to that. And when he's coming by, it's for him. He don't have to come and knock on the door and say, "I'm here." He just goes up there and goes to sleep. Lays down and rests. We'll make it for the prophet. And God saw this. And just how he impressed the heart, we don't know. But we know this, it pleased the Lord. And Elisha, it pleased him because he needed a place to rest. And he goes further and he said, "And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, pardon me, call the Shemanite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What is thou be spoken for the king? Or to the captain or the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." And he came by and he said, you've done this, and it's really a blessing for me. What is it we can do for you? I'd like to do something for you. And you ever been there? Somebody did something for you? Sometimes two or three times you say, this is blessing my heart. I feel we need to do something for them. This is what this woman was saying about this man of God. And she said, he said, "Can I talk to the king for you?" Notice, "Can I talk to others at this time?" He said, "And behold, thou hast been careful for us. Was thou be that spoke to the king or the captain, the host, and so forth?" She said, "No, I dwell upon my own people." And he said to her, "What then is it to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered and said, "Verily, she has no child, and her husband is old." He says, "Elisha, she has no children, and her husband is old, beyond the flower of age, I guess." And he called and said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you recognize and sometimes you may not recognize the blessing that God sends your way because you're the tool in his hand to use. And here, this is that. She says, "Man of God, don't lie to me." And he said, "No, I'm not going to lie. By this time next year the season comes, you're going to have a son." And they didn't have one, evidently, and couldn't bear one at this time. Well, what happens? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think this would have happened had she not been kind to the man of God? I don't. There's a result of what she did in her heart, doing what God said do. Now notice, "And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to be reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. My head, my head." This is a grown man. And he said to another young lad, he said, "Take this man to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon. And then died. Here this only child, sitting on the mother's lap, no doubt her cuddling him in her arms, trying to comfort him, not knowing really what's going on, having crude medicine of any kind, and the child died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She couldn't have laid him there had she not made it beforehand. She took him up and laid him up on the bed that Elisha had slept on and left him there and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again." He said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It will be well." And he sat on an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee." Don't you stop unless I tell you to. That's good Johnson County instruction there, I think. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her far off, he said to his servant Gehazi, he said, "His servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thee?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. What's happened here? Her son's dead, right? Right? Is not her son dead? Don't go to sleep on me now. I'll hit that electro button, you'll jump out of it like a... Their son is dead. And here's the thing, he says that this servant said to him, "Is it well with your husband?" "It's well." "Is it well with the child?" "It's well." "It's well? How can it be well? The child's dead." She's got a good attitude, hasn't she? You know the reason why? The good attitude is probably the reason why she built the chamber up on top. Her eyes are focused on what God wanted more than anything else. And she knew God had given him this child. She didn't know how it was going to come about, but she believed God was going to give it back to her, I believe. She showed that. And again, "Is it well with thy child?" She answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, "Lay her along. For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Don't mess with her. She's clinging to his legs. Don't mess with her. I don't know what's going on. God hadn't shown me right now. And then she said, "Did I desire a son, my Lord? Did I say not, do not deceive me?" And he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, slew him not. If he slew thee, answer him not again and lay the staff upon the face of the child." He said, "Don't you stop for anything. Take my staff and put on that child's body." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And so they passed on before, verse 32. And when Elisha came unto the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in there and shut the door. Verse 34, and he wept, and he went up and laid up upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, hand on his hand, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And when he returned and walked into the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." To be called her, so he called her, and when she was come to him, he said, "Take up thy son." And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took her son, and went out. You think she went out like she came in? No, sir. She is happy, shouting. What am I saying? It'll never happen like this. She'd have never had the son. Never had the son revived had not she listened to that little simple thing of doing something for God's man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's times people say, "Well, it costs a lot to do things." Yes, but I believe a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our day that preaches this book, been called of God, anointed by God to preach this book, been ordained in the method that it's to set forth the word of God in this book, I believe with all my heart for the age of grace is equivalent to any prophet in the Old Testament. Because we're doing the same thing that they did, just telling the story of our day that God tells us to tell until he brings another event in somewhere or another. And of course, we know the next thing on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. So here we are this week trying to have a refreshing place for people to come. Here we are this week trying to give ourselves much as possible this week to those who will come and be part of the camp meeting. Here we are as a man in Richmond, Virginia, named the central theme of our camp meeting, a spiritual place, a spiritual oasis for preachers. And so what we're doing our best to show. There'll be some men, and I'm sure Brother Vaughn been here to understand this because he's been pastor and missionary for years. There'll be some men who'll come here, they'll be brokenhearted, and they may have a church somewhere or another that's tore all to pieces. And they don't need frowns and condemnation. They need encouragement. They need loving. They need to be someone that just sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes they just need a layman to encourage them. They expect it sometimes of pastors, because sometimes churches are so tore up and so divided that there's just a lot of problems there. And so I believe that God has given us an opportunity. So that's the reason we asked you to give yourself, be here, set this aside. If there's any way possible that you can be used that week, because even if a cup of water that God says, if you give to one of his little ones, he said, I'll reward you for it, then surely anything beyond that would be reward greater. God rewards according to what we do. And if this woman got the greatest reward that could be, it started out by making a little chamber on top of the house where this man could stop anytime he went by and rest and be refreshed. And then she got a son because of that. And then the son died. And God resurrected the son. You say, well, God may never do that for us. No, I'll tell you what, though. There's things that God will do for us. He gets us through a lot of things. As a matter of fact, if we'd get into the Bible more, we'd find he does a lot of things for us now. God revealed to us now he does a lot of things for us. God pity we turn our back on him, not be found faithful, and not do the things that God says do, because he loves us so much. He's promised to reward us. So this week, we're just giving that little cup of water in his name for his glory. Amen.